Be sure to prepare yourself for a unique and revealing journey as we explore the five biblical prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. Stay vigilant, for these signs could occur at any moment. Let's start with the first prophecy. On an ordinary day, without any warning, the sky will light up, and we will see the Lord descending from heaven. At that instant, the sound of a heavenly trumpet will echo, and in the blink of an eye, millions of people will disappear. Thus will begin the rapture, a grand spectacle that will mark the start of the end-time prophecies. The rapture is the event where Jesus will return to take the believers to heaven. Many believe the rapture will be secret, but that's not true. It will be a grand spectacle visible to all. In Matthew 24, it is described how Jesus will send his angels with a loud trumpet call to gather his followers from all corners of the planet, from the earth to the sky. The letter to the Thessalonians provides detailed guidance on this event. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, we will be with the Lord forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. In this glorious moment, those who died believing in Christ will be resurrected, their bodies rising from the tombs transformed into glorious bodies. Then we who are still alive will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It will be a visible and undeniable event, as described by Jesus. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Matthew 24:31. The sudden disappearance of millions will plunge the world into chaos. Suddenly, social order will disintegrate, and there will be confusion, fear, and despair. But this is not the end, rather the beginning of a series of apocalyptic events that will culminate in the Great Tribulation. Imagine being among those who remain. Two men working in the field, one disappears, the other remains. Luke 17 clearly describes, "I tell you, on that night two people will be in one bed, one will be taken and the other left." Luke 17:34. Although the word rapture does not explicitly appear in some New Testament translations, the idea of being caught up is present in the original Greek text. The Greek word harpazo is used to describe this act of being quickly taken away in several parts of the New Testament, such as in the case of Philip in Acts 8 and Paul's friend in 2 Corinthians 12. The rapture will be a global and visible event. Everyone will see it. No one will be able to ignore it. In an instant, believers will be transformed and taken to heaven. But then, what will happen to those who are not prepared? The Bible is clear about this, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:37. The rapture will be sudden, swift, and overwhelming, with no time for last-minute preparations. The Bible exhorts us to always be prepared, vigilant, and firm in our faith. Jesus warns, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." Matthew 24:42. The uncertainty of the exact moment of the rapture drives us to live in constant preparation and alertness, knowing it could happen at any moment. The rapture will bring comfort and hope to believers. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, writes to console those who have lost loved ones, assuring them that death is not the end of the journey. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. This event will mark the beginning of a seven-year period of tribulation under the reign of the Antichrist, who will deceive many. The rapture is a warning but also a promise of hope, initiating the culmination of God's redemptive plan. Believers will be taken to heaven to meet Jesus and celebrate the wedding supper of the Lamb. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. The rapture is an event that could occur at any moment. Perhaps you have felt a stirring in your heart, a sense that something significant is coming. This feeling is not coincidental. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44. This warning is clear and direct, calling us to live each day as if it could be the last before meeting the Lord. During a period known as the tribulation, a figure will emerge who will mark one of the darkest and most decisive moments in human history, the Antichrist. This figure, according to the scriptures, will be a charismatic and deceptive leader who will seek to unify the world under his rule, promising peace and security, but bringing chaos and destruction. The Bible warns us, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." 2 Thessalonians 2:3. This verse gives us a clear image of his arrogance and evil purpose. Initially, the Antichrist will present himself as a savior, riding a white horse, carrying a bow without arrows, symbolizing a deceptive peace and false security. During the first 3.5 years of his reign, he will deceive the entire world, promising peace and prosperity. But this calm is only an illusion. Imagine a charismatic leader who suddenly emerges, promising peace and security in times of chaos. Suddenly, this leader begins to accumulate power at an alarming rate. The nations of the world, desperate for solutions, start to follow him blindly. This is the Antichrist, a master of deception whose goal is to lead humanity in rebellion against God. Then, halfway through these 7 years, his true nature will be revealed. Suddenly, the mask will fall. The Antichrist will impose a mark, known as the mark of the beast, without which no one will be able to buy or sell. This mark will be the number 666, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 13:16, 17. Those who accept this mark will be condemned eternally, but those who resist will face persecution and death. The Apostle John in Revelation 13 gives us a riddle to identify the Antichrist. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation 13:18. This number composed of three sixes represents repeated imperfection, in contrast to the number 7, which symbolizes divine perfection. This detail underscores the imperfect and deceptive nature of the Antichrist, who will try to usurp God's place, but will fall short of true divinity. The Bible tells us that the Antichrist will begin his career as a local leader, but will quickly become a tyrant who will dominate the entire world. In Revelation 13, it is mentioned that he will have authority to act for 42 months, during which he will blaspheme against God, persecute the saints, and wage war against them. God's judgments will begin to fall on earth. The promised peace will turn into chaos. Wars, famine, and death will dominate. The second rider on a red horse will bring violence. The third rider on a black horse will bring famine. And the fourth rider on a pale horse will bring death itself. As the great tribulation progresses, the bowls of God's wrath will be poured out, causing indescribable suffering. The book of Revelation also describes the Antichrist as a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, and on each horn a crown, and on each head a blasphemous name. Revelation 13 recounts how the dragon, who is Satan, gives the beast his power, his throne, and great authority. One of the beast's heads appears to have suffered a mortal wound, but its healed wound astonishes the entire world, leading them to worship the beast and the dragon who gave it power. The prophet Daniel provides a detailed vision of the Antichrist, describing him as a terrifying beast with human eyes and a mouth that speaks arrogant and blasphemous words against the Most High. In Daniel 7, it is predicted that this leader will try to change times and laws, and the saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time, which equals 3.5 years. His ability to speak eloquently and convince the masses will be one of his most powerful tools to subject the world to his control. This prophecy is a warning. The Antichrist will come with deceptions and empty promises, but his true objective is destruction and chaos. Prepare yourself, for when he is revealed, the world will never be the same. However, the manifestation of the Antichrist is not just a time of darkness, but also of trial and strengthening for believers. This is the moment to stand firm in our faith, recognizing that our daily decisions have eternal consequences. So, how can we prepare for the coming of the Antichrist? First, we must be vigilant for the signs. Jesus warned us, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Matthew 24:24. This is a call to watch and not be deceived by appearances. Second, we must strengthen our faith. The Bible is our guide in times of confusion. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. The truth of God's word will protect us from the lies of the Antichrist. Third, we must share this knowledge with others. Many people are not prepared for what is to come. Our duty is to teach them and help them find the truth. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. This mandate is more urgent than ever. The manifestation of the Antichrist is one of the most terrifying prophecies, but it is also an opportunity to demonstrate our faith and trust in God. We must not fear, because we know that the final victory belongs to the Lord, "and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Romans 16:20. This verse assures us that although the Antichrist will have his time, his defeat is certain. Despite his great power and deceptions, the Antichrist's fate is sealed. Jesus, in his second coming, will defeat him at the Battle of Armageddon, ending his reign of terror and restoring divine justice. The seven trumpets described in the book of Revelation are a series of divine judgments that announce catastrophic events that will unfold on earth in the last days. Each trumpet brings a specific plague or disaster, highlighting the severity of God's wrath against sinful humanity and calling for repentance before the final judgment. The first trumpet will bring fire and hail mixed with blood, devastating one-third of the vegetation. Imagine the chaos, the fires, the scorched earth. But this is just the beginning. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood, Revelation 8:8. Suddenly, the oceans turn red, marine life perishes en masse, and water resources become deadly. The devastation continues with the third trumpet. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Revelation 8:10, 11. This star, called Wormwood, poisons the fresh waters, causing great suffering and death. When the fourth trumpet sounds, a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night, Revelation 8:12. The night becomes darker and the day dim. The physical darkness symbolizes the spiritual darkness enveloping the world. But amid this darkness, a voice cries out, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." Revelation 8:13. The fifth trumpet is even more terrifying. "The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss, When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. Revelation 9:1-3. These creatures do not harm the vegetation, but torment people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads for 5 months. The torment is so severe that men will seek death, but will not find it. Suddenly, the sixth trumpet sounds. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Revelation 9:13-15. These angels unleash a horde of horsemen who kill a third of humanity. The scale of destruction is unimaginable, but even after all this, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. Revelation 9:20. The hardness of the human heart persists despite divine warnings. The seventh trumpet is different. It marks the end of the judgments and the beginning of God's kingdom. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." Revelation 11:15. This sound does not bring destruction, but hope. Heaven fills with worship and proclamations of God's victory. The earth trembles, the sky suddenly darkens, and the end is near. The Battle of Armageddon breaks out. This is the final showdown between good and evil, the climax of all apocalyptic prophecies. In Revelation 16, we read, "Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon." Revelation 16:16. This is the setting for the final confrontation between the forces of good and evil. The Battle of Armageddon has its specific mention in chapter 16 and 19 of the book of Revelation. The term Armageddon comes from the Hebrew Har Megiddo, meaning Mountain of Megiddo. This location, situated in ancient Palestine, was the scene of numerous historical battles and is symbolically the final battlefield where the ultimate confrontation between good and evil will unfold. As the tribulation reaches its peak, the nations of the world align in an unprecedented global conflict. The kings of the earth, guided by demonic spirits performing miraculous signs, are summoned for the great battle of the day of God Almighty. In Revelation 16, it is mentioned how these spirits go out to gather the kings of the world for war on the great day of God. This is a time of deception and manipulation, where the forces of evil seek to gather all nations to oppose God and his people. The prophet Daniel also provides a prophetic vision of this confrontation. In Daniel 11, it describes how the king of the south and the king of the north launch attacks against the Antichrist, provoking a series of conflicts that culminate in Armageddon. This passage describes the invasion and attempts of the Antichrist to subjugate various nations, extending his dominion to the holy mountain, but facing insurmountable resistance and challenges. The sixth angel plays a crucial role in the outcome of this battle. In Revelation 16, it is mentioned that the sixth angel pours out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, drying up its waters to prepare the way for the kings from the east. This action symbolizes the removal of the final barriers preventing the advance of the armies towards the heart of the Antichrist's territory, paving the way for the final battle. Suddenly, amid this chaos, the sky splits open and something incredible happens. Jesus Christ returns riding a majestic white horse. His eyes, like flames of fire, see everything. Nothing escapes his judgment. His name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." Revelation 1:7. All the inhabitants of the earth will witness his glorious return. But he is not alone. The armies of heaven, dressed in fine linen, white and pure, follow him, also riding white horses. However, before them, the Antichrist and the kings of the earth have gathered to wage war. The forces of evil align, ready for the final battle. His presence changes the course of the battle. From his mouth comes a sharp sword to strike the nations. The beast and the false prophet are captured and thrown into the lake of fire. Suddenly, chaos transforms into divine order. The battle that seemed impossible to win is resolved in an instant by the power of Jesus. The armies of evil are defeated by the sword coming from Christ's mouth. The earth is filled with corpses, and the birds gorge themselves on the flesh of the fallen. The victory is total. Evil is defeated. This victory marks the beginning of a new kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, which will last 1,000 years. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21:4. Satan is bound for 1,000 years, unable to deceive the nations. Peace and justice reign on earth like never before. Armageddon marks the end of evil's reign and the beginning of a new era of eternal glory and peace. This long-awaited and feared battle is the culmination of the struggle between light and darkness. It will not only mark the end of the Antichrist, but also the culmination of the spiritual battle between good and evil, with the definitive victory of good. The second coming of Christ will be the moment when all injustices will be rectified and evil will finally be defeated. Beyond judgment, the second coming will bring restoration and renewal of all things. In Matthew 19, Jesus promises his disciples, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Matthew 19:28. This renewal signals a new beginning, a time when the kingdom of God will be established in its fullness and believers will share in his glory and authority. The second coming of Christ is not just a future event. It is a present promise that transforms our lives, challenging us to remain steadfast in our faith and live with hope. "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Revelation 3:11. The Bible encourages us to be ready. "Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." Revelation 16:15. So we come to the question every Christian asks: when will the second coming of Christ be? In Matthew 24, Jesus warns, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." Matthew 24:42. "But know this, but understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Matthew 24:43, 44. So how can we prepare for this event? First, strengthen yourself in God's word. The Bible is our guide and fortress in times of uncertainty. Second, pray constantly, seeking God's direction and protection. And third, share this message of salvation with others. Many are not prepared and need to hear this truth. In Revelation 21, John reports his vision. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." Revelation 21, 1-2. This celestial city is a place specially prepared by God for his people, a heavenly city descending bright and majestic, ready to receive the faithful. The vision of the New Jerusalem is one of the most hopeful and glorious images of Revelation. This final event not only marks the end of times of tribulation and judgment, but also the beginning of an eternity of peace and perfect communion with God. The New Jerusalem represents the culmination of God's redemptive plan and the fulfillment of his promises of a new heaven and a new earth. Imagine a city where there is no pain or suffering, a place where the presence of God fills every corner. The New Jerusalem is the fulfillment of all divine promises, a symbol of the eternal communion between God and his people. Suddenly, we realize that this city is different from any other we have known. There are no temples because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Communion with God is direct and constant, without barriers or intermediaries. What is this city like? The description in Revelation is impressive. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long, Revelation 21:16. The city wall measures about 65 meters, symbolizing its grandeur and perfection. The city is adorned with 12 gates, each made of a single pearl, and the foundations of the city walls are decorated with every kind of precious stone. One of the most astonishing features of the New Jerusalem is its transparency and luminosity. The city was of pure gold, as pure as glass, Revelation 21:18. This transparency symbolizes the absolute purity and holiness of the place, free from any impurity or sin. In the center of the New Jerusalem is the throne of God and the Lamb. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22:1-2. In the New Jerusalem, the presence of God will be direct. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." Revelation 21:3. This passage highlights the intimate communion between God and His people, a relationship without barriers or suffering, where all sorrow and pain will be things of the past. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Revelation 21:23. The presence of God replaces the need for any light source. His glory illuminates everything, and Jesus is the eternal light that never goes out. The New Jerusalem is not only a place of holiness, but also of abundance and eternal life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22:1-2. God's provision is continuous and abundant, ensuring the eternal health and prosperity of its inhabitants. Who will inhabit this city? Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21:27. Only those whose names are written in the Book of Life will have access to the New Jerusalem. This is a powerful reminder of the importance of faith and holiness. The New Jerusalem also represents the culmination of God's redemptive history. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Revelation 21:6. This is the image of final redemption and complete restoration. The vision of the New Jerusalem is a vision of hope and promise, a future where God's presence will be fully with His people and all things will be renewed. This prophecy calls us to live with the hope of this glorious future, ensuring that our present aligns with the holiness and purity that God has prepared for His people. Stand firm in faith, knowing that the New Jerusalem will descend from heaven and with it the eternal communion with God in a kingdom of infinite justice, peace, and love. If you want to understand the apocalypse more deeply, click on this video. If you think the apocalypse is a book about the destruction of evil or Satan, you are completely mistaken. Discover the book of Revelation, as it is the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing to those who read and hear it. Leave your like if you enjoyed this video and want more prophetic content like this.